Joining me in the studio is Mr. Wim van der Broeke, as well as Dionise Hochel, who are from the EU. Mr. Wim van der Broeke is the head of EU in South Sudan, as well as Dionise Hochel is the EU head of delegation. So we have head of cooperation and head of delegation. Gentlemen, you're welcome and thank you for joining me this morning.
Very good morning. Thank you very much for inviting us. I have to say that before I came to South Sudan, I was listening already on internet. I really appreciate the way of the radio plays in this country. I originally came from Slovakia, former Czechoslovakia.
Okay.
And during the communist regime, the independent sources of information, freedom of information, impartial informations, actually we received from radios, but not from domestic radios, but from the foreign radios, like Voice of America, BBC, and Radio Free Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So I highly appreciate your effort, and I really I have to underscore that how important is free radio for all inhabitants in the country and elsewhere.
Thank you, Dionise. And so, let me start with van der Broeke. Why the interest to support these projects, projects that involve resilience and livelihoods strengthening?
Thank you very much. Thank you for the question. Of course, the EU is very concerned about the sustainable development goals, the achievement of the sustainable development goals, and in particular, the SDG 2, Zero Hunger, following a recent report here in South Sudan, which is called the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, IPC, which the European Union also funds, and which is a powerful tool to assess famine risks in a country. We got alarming messages on famine risk in South Sudan, and that's why we are intensively also together with our EU member states present in Juba, and in particular the Netherlands, Sweden, France and Germany. That's why we have a big portfolio in food security, addressing food security. It's important to know that we address this, as they call it, in a nexus approach. That means that we give support as well at the humanitarian side and development side, because the purpose is not to give simply food assistance, but also to make South Sudan self-reliant on food security. And the country has all potential to do that, but we need to increase the capacities of the stakeholders, of the smallholders, to do that.
Okay. You do want to add something,
just
Dionise.
To add that the European Union is not superpower in terms of armed export or heavy technologies, but we are a superpower in terms of humanitarian and development aid with all our partners. And this project is under this values which has been adopted by European Union legislation, that European Union is following humanitarian and development aid based on human rights, civil rights and human dignity.
Okay. And when you talk about resilience and improving livelihoods, what are some of the activities you're actually providing this funding for, the activities that will actually happen on the ground that will make up the projects? How will these partners practically strengthen livelihoods and resilience?
Thank you. The project that we have now, and which to which recently we topped up with 20 million, has two components and two implementing partners, specialists in the field of resilience. The first component, the cooperation with UNOPS, seeks to improve rural livelihoods by providing sustainable access to farms and agricultural markets, using the appropriate infrastructures for that. It will complete 115 kilometers of feeder roads. It will complete two bridges. It will also build the government capacity. The WFP component works completely in the nexus, humanitarian development, as I has explained. They will support smallholders in South Sudan by increasing the production that they have, by reducing food losses, and by access to quality markets. Another component is food assistance for assets. That works as follows. The households receive cash or food-based transfers to address their immediate food needs. That makes them freeing up their time to rehabilitate their assets, to construct roads, to increase food productivity. So it's all about building wells, watershed dams, water points. It's also about, since Dionys mentioned values of the European Union, it's also about forestry plantations, and that is very important for South Sudan, given the current deforestation rate at 1.5% per year. And it's important that South Sudan plants more trees for climate change. It will also it's also promotion of employment, and in particular, it will also facilitate access to finance by village saving and loan associations.
Okay, there's quite a lot there. And what's the duration to achieve this? Coming to you, Dionys.
Just to complement that the project will benefit around 15,000 households will benefit from the project, and this is around 90,000 persons in the country, which is a significant
number. This is
from
the three states that you mentioned earlier, Bahr Ghazal and the two Bahr Ghazals and Upper Nile. And so this period, what is the period timeline to achieve all this?
The timeline to achieve all this is October 2020. The project will run until October 2024. But that being said, we will partner with the government, because we must avoid that once that the project ends, we must ensure sustainability. And that can only be done in partnership with the government. So we will need to negotiate with the government so that they can build upon the achievements reached of this project.
Okay. And you did mention famine and climate change, and how some of these projects will actually work towards, for climate change, it's adaptability, for famine, it's to reduce. Dionys, could you just highlight on that? Why?
I mean,
how will this affect that and make it better?
I would start with the ambitions EU climate change goals, because we have aimed to reduce 55% emissions by 2030, and to create a climate neutrality target in European Union by 2050.
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot do it alone. Europe cannot have an ambitious climate change without strong cooperation and partnership with Africa. So this is one of the prerequisites of the program.
Okay. And when we talk about these planting trees, and is this something that's going to expand to the rest of South Sudan?
It must go, because this should be an example for the others to follow. Because if we would like to decrease the temperatures until the target 1.5 degree, because we see the floodings not only in South Sudan, and the drawings and the increase of temperatures, we have to start with concrete steps. And the planting and trees is a fantastic example in the Sahel part of Africa to cope with these climate change targets by starting with such a symbolic projects which can have a duration and can continue in other countries to follow.
Okay, all right. Now, coming to your other priorities, already you've given this amount, and you said you did a top-up of 20 million over the 41, or is it a combined?
No, you talk about 41, it's 36 million.
It's 36.
The project is 36 million. Okay. Initially, it was 16 million, and following the alarming messages in this IPCC report that we received the European Union, we were quickly to mobilize another top-up of 20 million, in particular to address these alarming situations on famine risk.
So the 20 is in addition to the 36?
No, the 20 is in addition to the initially 16.
Oh, okay. So the initial 16 that makes it what it is now. And so on top of this, what are your other plans in regards to famine, in regards to climate change and other developmental areas? How do you plan to expound from what is currently being funded for?
Thank you very much. It's an interesting question because the European Union is now in a new programming exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And we are developing, it has not been approved yet, but it's far advanced. And we are developing a new strategy for the European Union in collaboration with the member states for South Sudan in the coming 7 years.
Okay.
One key priority, the first key priority, is the green and resilient economy.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it already. It's about food assistance, but it's also about a second component, creating jobs for youth. Because that's really important. The youth needs jobs. And it's also important for South Sudan to diversify its economy so that it's not solely dependent on oil revenues. So that's the first priority area. The second priority area, and that's a bit linked to the previous discussion that you had before us, is on human development. Education will be a major priority for support of the European Union, especially early childhood literacy. We will also, in particular, address the disparity, the gender disparity in school attainment for girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will also have technical and vocational and educational training linked to the job creation. And then finally, we will continue to address health, to address the main morbidity causes of in South Sudan. There are some overarching principle in all this. Women and children will be central. We will go to marginalized regions, and we will cooperate also with our EU member states. The third priority area, I'll give the floor to
Dionys.
I think it goes without saying that good governance, peace and rule of law for fair society is a condition to progress. And in this priority, we will contribute with our programs to peace and reconciliation in South Sudan.
And you plan to achieve this in the next 7 years?
Well, we have...
Starting when?
Starting 2021, mm-hmm. It's a very ambitious goal, but it
we are in 2021.
It's the budgetary cycle,
uh-huh.
But without a strong involvement of South Sudanese stakeholders at all levels, these goals would not be possible to achieve.
Which brings me to the next question. How is your collaboration with the government? Are you finding it smooth? Are you facing any challenges in order to be able to achieve all these very, very ambitious goals?
The cooperation is on various levels. I would like to highlight cooperation with the newly established Transition National Legislative Assembly. We have a project that aims to support MPs in their work. And coming myself from the European Parliament, I was fascinated to see the exchange of views with the newly appointed parliamentarians.
Mm-hmm.
They were asking simple question, but very important. What is the distinction between the members of parliament and a lobbyist?
Mm-hmm.
How they could communicate to their constituency?
Mm-hmm.
How they could use social media tools? What are their rights in terms of being member of parliament in legislative process?
Yes.
And all these questions are absolutely relevant in any country when we have a parliamentary powers that should be independent from executive,
mm-hmm.
and all these roles need to be addressed and learned. And our projects and the cooperation with the Transition National Legislative Assembly is about supporting the capacities of appointed members of parliaments to do their work.
Okay. Is there any other cooperation that's active right now?
Thank you. That's a very good question. I want to correct you. You said EU tries to achieve this within 7 years. We cannot do this.
It's still ambitious.
It's ambitious. It's ambitious. We need a partnership,
yes,
with the government. That's obvious, because each one needs to take up its responsibilities in that. And donors cannot substitute the government.
That's very true. So my question is, how is it working? Is it working okay? Are you facing any challenges?
It's working okay, especially, for instance, in the agricultural development. We have a good cooperation with the technical ministries, mm-hmm, and we embed our support in agricultural development in the different strategies that they have, the comprehensive agricultural program and the irrigation program that South Sudan has. We do that. We work very closely with the technical ministries on that. But what we are also doing then in the third key priority that we were mentioning is to prepare the government for a better partnership. And in particular, what is desperately needed, and they are ongoing, mm-hmm, is the reform in the public finance management system. We need South Sudan to have sufficient allocations for the dire needs of its citizens in relation to health and in relation to education, to give an example. So we are working already on that to rationalize the public finance management. And then if the government takes up his roles in paying salaries to the teachers, in paying salaries to the healthcare workers, then we can have a more solid partnership with the government for development partners than to go to more in structural development. I stop there.
Okay. Well, thank you. You've actually clarified it well, and there's no way to achieve it without the partnership. And as it's ongoing, we hope it gets better. All right. So as we conclude this conversation, yes, you've mentioned your priorities. You've mentioned how you're working, the target. How do you plan to sustain your work in South Sudan?
The priorities, what we have been discussing, and also the climate change goals, would not be possible without a partnership with the stakeholders at all levels. Bearing in mind that what we have to do, we have to focus on peace and stability,
mm-hmm,
to address violence, to address reconciliation issues, to follow up the constitutional process that will lead to the elections. All these aspects are a prerequisite for further progress. And it requires really all stakeholders to be involved to addressing all these ambitious goals. We care, we can do together.
All right. Well, thank you for that. What are your last remarks now? Starting with you, Van der Broeke. I got your name right. I like saying it.
Yeah. I know. I have a difficult name, but I'm not a difficult person. thank you. I've arrived in South Sudan in March 2020, which was then really the right time to arrive because COVID came with me.
You don't want that to stick on you.
I know that. But then since then, I've seen that in South Sudan, of course, South Sudan comes often in the news as a crisis. But I see, especially amongst the youth, some enthusiasm, fundaments, and willingness to progress. And I think that at the government level, they should capture this energy to move and progress forward towards peace.
Okay.
That being said, for instance, violence must stop.
Okay.
Because that prevents structural development. And that's the first thing that needs to be addressed. This violence must stop. And it's possible. And we will support any goodwill from the government
to progress on that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Dionisio, last remark.
I recently arrived, but I see here a vivid network of very
bright... How long have you been in?
Since the beginning of September.
Okay, go ahead.
But I see a very nice, interesting and vivid network of very brave human and civil rights defenders. And this is my great hope for South Sudan's future, to support the human rights and civil rights defenders, freedom of media, freedom of associations, young generation with education and social media skills.
Okay, thank you very much for coming and speaking to me, and all the best with supporting South Sudan. Thank you for the good work you're doing.
Thank you very much for the invitation.